One guy who always speaks his mind is a great friend of mine. He is our next guest, and he joins us on the Mercedes of Bedford hotline. He is Buckeye linebacker, former Buckeye linebacker, Bobby Carpenter, former Dallas Cowboys, Detroit Lions, New England Patriots. Did I miss one, bud?
You about got it covered.
I got you covered? Yeah, he's currently host Carpenter and Rothman, 97.1 The Fan, down in Columbus. He was actually you and I did the show first, right?
Yes, sir. The offseason was Bo Bishop.
No, I don't think that was it. I think it was named something else. Bob, you saw last night Malcolm Jenkins, I'm sure, making the protest that he made with the Black Power fist and Chris Long with his arm around him. I don't really care. It doesn't really matter to me where you are politically. It doesn't matter where I am politically. I like the symbolism of Chris Long putting his arm around him and Jenkins being, that's what this country's made on, right? And then also the ability of these athletes to speak out socially, whether it's LeBron or Tom Brady or Curt Schilling or Kevin Durant, whatever side you're on, we're at a point now where there's a lot of opinion being out there, and it's my opinion that these guys have a valuable voice to be heard. Where do you sit on it?
I think it's a very unique situation because probably outside of the U.S. military, from people that I've talked to that have served, sports locker rooms are really the next best place for diversity and united diversity within our country. And you go through, and I'm from Lancaster, Ohio. I mean, graduated with predominantly white class. You go to Ohio State, it's more mixed for the NFL. And the demographics change even more. And you get to know the guys, and you all start to work towards one common goal. And after a while, you notice the differences in people, and you obviously can see that, but that's not your primary focus. And I heard a little bit about what you were saying with the sports fans going to games, and you have more in common than you think. And it's not to sound like bias or anything like that, but you don't really notice the differences as much. And, they may have a different view on different things than you do, but you know the person, so you inherently know what they're about, and you can talk to them about it, and you can have civil discourse and discuss things, and it's very productive. And play with Malcolm, he was a freshman my senior year at Ohio State, got to know him as I would come back in the offseason. But I was fortunate enough, I did have a brief stint in St. Louis in the offseason, and got to be with Chris Long for a couple months, knowing both of those guys, both highly intelligent individuals. Both have done a great job of articulating what they stand for. And that's why I think Malcolm's been such a powerful voice in a lot of this. You may not necessarily agree 100% with some of the things that he's talking about, but he talks about them in an intelligent way. He's completely researched on the subject. And instead of complaining about things and wearing socks that display police officers and pigs and Fidel Castro t-shirts, he's going on ride-alongs with police officers and meeting with law enforcement agents throughout the country. That's the type of productivity that gets things moving. Because you talk to people, you understand all the sides, and you're able to clearly articulate a message and answer questions about it. And that's why I think Malcolm has been so great. And to see Chris do that, I think was, it was really a sign of unity, not just within, Philadelphia locker room, but, the NFL, and hopefully it'll do wonders to help unite the country a little bit.
Yeah, I think one of the big, Bobby Carpenter, former NFL linebacker, Buckeye linebacker, joining us here on The Fan. I think the biggest, like you said, if he doesn't agree with you 100%, well, we don't all have to, right? Like we can agree on a lot of things, but disagree on some things, and we can all get along. And I just like the platform that's being used. You have a unique perspective, as we shift gears a little bit, of having played for Ohio State and understand the magnetism of that. And then you have played for the Dallas Cowboys and understand what that's like. A guy that I cover a lot and you know a lot and I do as well is Ezekiel Elliott, and he's in a weird spot with the NFL where he's looking at a 6-game ban. He's going to appeal it, has appealed it. I said last week on the show that you cannot understand the microscope and the amount of star power that comes with that. This does not excuse if what is alleged is true, but you cannot understand that the star power of Columbus, Ohio, being the MVP of a national championship football team in Columbus, and then become that for the Dallas Cowboys. You've lived in that in a similar way. Can you articulate what that's like?
Zeke's been in a very, difficult position. It's been a very prosperous position for him. I mean, he's been granted a ton of opportunities because of his ability and where he's played both places. But with that comes a tremendous amount of responsibility. You try to remember these guys are 21, 22, 23 years old. At some point, though, you have to begin to grow up and make some better decisions. understand that your life is going to be microanalyzed. That's just the reality of it. And with that, it's going to provide you opportunities to promote yourself, promote your brand, you know, earn a living because of it. But then there's also going to be issues where, you know, if you fall into some gray area or do something wrong, you're going to be chastised for it. You have to understand that. You know, looking through all this, Annabelle, do I know if they have enough evidence to be able to, you know, make something stick in a court of law? Probably not. I believe that maybe something probably happened. Yeah, I tend to believe that a little bit. You know, so he's got to understand who he is, what he's about. One of the things I told Deke when he went down, I go, find Jason Witt, stick with him. I text Witt about it all. About, you know, I think Deke is a pretty good kid at heart. And I'm like, this is a guy who's a professional on and off the field. He's a guy that I try to follow around anyway, not just on the field with what he did and how he worked as a professional. The guy's going to be a Hall of Famer 5 years after he's done playing. But also the fact that he's a great man off the field. He's involved in a number of causes. You know, he does things the right way. He's a great father. He's a great husband. And he's really a very, very solid man. And so I just hope that he begins to surround himself and listen to guys like that more. That can have a positive influence on his life and begin to maybe turn him in the direction. You saw this a little bit with Dez Bryant down there. He went down there on a lot of issues. And then all of a sudden now you think of Dez Bryant, you still probably think of those issues. But I challenge you, when was the last time that he actually had something that was out there publicly where that he was a part of, you know, something that wasn't above board? And it's been a number of years. So, you know, guys can mature and they can change, but they have to have that desire. And they have to be able to sacrifice some things that, you know what, maybe this is something I want to do, but there could be some negative elements involved with it. And, you know, it's not a guarantee, but what is it really worth the risk at this point in my life with everything that they have at stake to continue to push the envelope with that? Or maybe let's lay back and, you know, make a better decision at this point in time.
Yeah, it's a tricky spot. Like, the Dallas Cowboys to me are like what happens when you're a star at Ohio State times a million. They run Texas, right? I mean, it's University of Texas and the Dallas Cowboys. They run the state, do they not? I mean, it's just the biggest thing you could be as a star for the Dallas Cowboys. It's shortstop for the Yankees, right?
But you have a star in your helmet, you'll play like one. That's
right.
He's always saying that there's something to that. Look how many national televised games the Cowboys have. They've maxed them out. I think he's got 7 a year. I mean, Dallas is always hitting that 7 number. They basically put it in because they cap out what they could have.
Yeah, right.
Everybody, and they draw the biggest numbers. They play, whether they a big team, they play against the other biggest markets in the NFC East. Some people love them. They run Dallas. So with that, everybody's going to always be watching you. You have to be cognizant of it. It's going to give you opportunities. Unbelievable opportunities to meet people and, you know, marketing deals. But at the same point in time, if you toe the line, people are going to call you, and then you're going to be a victim of the 24-hour news cycle. People are going to ride it until they've gotten their pound of flesh.
No, it is. It's a wild time. Let me get you running a little bit out of time. I want to ask you about the Big Ten, and we'll get more into that down the road and as the season goes along. And I don't know that the Big Ten has ever been in better shape than it is right now, Bob. I mean, I think maybe you go back to like the 90s, early 90s, when, you know, everybody seemed to have a ton of talent. Even, you know, even Purdue, Illinois had a ton of talent. But I look at James Franklin. I look at Jim Harbaugh. I look at Urban Meyer. I look at Mark D'Antonio. I look at the coaches in the East, and I look at the talent that they've brought to their campuses. This is just, we are set up for a Big Ten season, the likes of which we haven't seen in a very long time. Am I right?
It kind of reminds you a little bit, you know, the SEC back, you said, in the late 90s, during the 2000s, the Florida, Georgia, Tennessee. I mean, you have four big-time coaches. And one of the things that you always clamored about, and I remember you talking, and it's something that I really didn't notice, was looking at the coaches' salaries. Well, one thing all those guys have in common now is they're all making over $5 million a year. Jim Harbaugh, I mean, he's making 9 this year. James Franklin is making around 6. Urban's making 6. Mark D'Antonio's making 5. And they put an emphasis on that. With that comes pressure, but also it breeds performance. And so those guys have recruited at a high level. They've developed players. And the expectation is to go out there, you know, and compete on a national stage, not just try to win the Midwest. It's, hey, win the nation in recruiting and then win on the field as well.
No, it's stunning. It is the money, and it's not just head coaches, but it's also the coordinators. I mean, there's strength coaches at Ohio State making $500,000 now. So that's how it's changed. Look forward to talking to you as the season goes along, my friend. Have a good season down in Columbus. Looks like the Bucks are going to be right in the hunt as they always are, my friend.
Absolutely, Bob. Good to talk to you as always, man.
All right, that's Bobby Carpenter, great friend.